Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to our message tonight. If you have opened this message as a podcast or from our website, we'd like for you to understand that this is a live teleconference meeting. So there are going to be people dialing in from all over the place. We'd like to give them an opportunity to get here, so we'll start in about 3 to 5 minutes. And any time that you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings live, they're held each Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363. Pound. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. So God bless you for being here. And if you'd like to say hello, now is a good time to do that.
Hello, Pastor Vicki. It's Rose. And that's the last meeting, so I'm right here.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody else want to say hello?
Hi, Miss Vicki.
Hey, Mitch, we've been missing you.
Hey, sis. Hi, dear. I know we've been having so much going on, but I got to hear Miss Gretchen on Friday, and you've been just running around in circles out there with life and also busy out there. Been missing you guys too, though. But Miss Annette's what we calling into right now.
I'm all right. Right here.
Hey, all there right. She is.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Miss Annette.
Yeah, we've been missing you too. That's what I mean. We gotta call Vicki tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Annette, you asked me to let you know when I had copies of Who's Using Your Tongue available. They're not going to be released till December 8th, but I have some copies, some pre-release copies. Mm-hmm. And if you want to pass the word, they're $15 a piece if you buy them from me. If you wait and get them after it's released, it's a little bigger than that. That's a little more money, but.
Okay.
So just let me know.
All right. Yeah, Lala. I'll check around. See if I'm still interested. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to say hello? So far. So far, so good. Been a beautiful day today, I can tell you that. I don't know where you are, if it was beautiful, but it was really beautiful around here. Oh. He's worthy of it all. Well, we have Rose and Mitch and Annette and somebody else. Hallelujah. And I don't know who all else.
Hello.
Hi, Claudia.
How are you this evening?
I'm a blessed woman. Thank you. Now, did you tell me before to send Sandy a book?
Uh-huh. I have it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you want another one?
No, I have the one. I bought one for her, so we have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've already sent that one to me, so I just needed the one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank you. I got those yesterday.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Or Saturday, actually, not yesterday. And I'm so glad I'm awake.
Yay. Usually, oh, you're really blessed.
You will, bed.
Yeah, you will truly be blessed tonight. Is there anybody else that would like to say hello before we get started tonight? I thought maybe Helen was trying to call in. She called my number.
I'm here. I'm here, Vicki. I packed everything.
But you made it.
Yes. I had to call Judy.
Okay. Praise God. All right. Anybody else want to say hello? If not, I'm going to ask that you hang on. I am going to mute the telephones, and then Pastor Phil will pray us into this wonderful meeting.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just about to pray us in.
No, I haven't.
All right, good evening. We're having a little shaky start this evening. Hallelujah and welcome. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. Our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ and to have all the joy, the peace, and the strength from God to walk through everything that may come your way. Anything we can do to help you reach the fullness that God has for you, we are here ready and willing to help you. So that is our mission. We have a dynamite teaching for you tonight, straight from the throne room. So buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be great. I'm going to pray us in. We'll get started. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for taking us through another day. We are thankful for this day. We are thankful that your hand is on our life and that you have a good plan and that you will see it through. So we trust you, Lord, and we ask that you anoint this message special. Speak to your people in a special way tonight. Help them to grow in you and be strengthened by your presence and your anointing. So we thank you for your word, God. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in Jesus' name, we turn aside any assignment from hell that it would attempt to divert this message or keep it from doing what God would have it do to glorify his people. So we thank you, Lord, that your hand is on it. Satan, we say, get behind us in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, take it away in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Okay. Well, if Phil wasn't kidding about fasten your seatbelts, we are in and have been in a season of deliverance, getting free from a whole bunch of different things, and you will gain some freedom tonight. The title of this message is Returning to Your First Love. It's going to be a message of revelation to all of us. It certainly was to me when I first understood the deeper meanings that are held in the Word of God. So our hope is that you will listen with both sets of ears, your natural ears and your spiritual ears, to really grasp what the Lord is saying so that you can see things from God's perspective and not your own. Because we are about to strip away some of the blinders in your life. Now, I don't know how many of you know what blinders are, but they're put on horses to keep them from being spooked by anything in their peripheral vision. With the horse, blinders are helpful to keep the animal going along a certain path because he can see only what's directly in front of him. No distraction. Sometimes we too need blinders so that we're not distracted by the things of the world and we can continue our pursuit of God and what he has for us. So blinders can be a good thing in some ways. However, there are other blinders that blind us to the things of God and actually prevent us from receiving from him. And there are many. There are some easy to recognize blinders, such as self-righteousness, self-focus. You will never see the plan of God for your life if you're focused on yourself. There's pride. These are blinders that keep us from receiving from God. There's bitterness, complacency, depression, compromise, and so on. Those are pretty easy to recognize. And then there are a few not so easy to recognize blinders that are prevalent in the church today. Among these, and I personally think these are the two biggest ones, are tradition and familiarity. So let's just revisit the title of this message and look at the scripture that calls us back. The message is Returning to Your First Love.
Hallelujah. So we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says the following. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my namesake have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent.
Woo, hallelujah.
That word, repent, you know, it's not used a lot in the churches today, and we have to...
Yes.
But, yes, it is important. You know, remember, John the Baptist came preaching repentance for remission of sins. So our repentance must be in our heart. And I'm going to move on. Jesus is just beginning to address the seven churches, and right away we can see ourselves if we bother to look. Yes, we've worked for the Lord. Yes, we've been patient to wait on his timing. At least we did our best to do that. It's true, we can't bear to be around the evil of the world, and we do our best to bring judgment on evil spirits and justice to God's people. Yes, we shun false apostles and have endured hardship, not grown weary in well-doing, and kept on going in the strength and patience of the Lord. But wait. Have we left our first love? Well, the answer is sadly yes. Think about it. When you were first saved, there was an unusual zeal in your life that demanded more of God's word and more understanding of it. You listened intently and probably took some notes in the church. You read and reread passages that spoke to you. Oh, yes. You sought teachers and mentors to know more. You delighted in the presence of God and His holy word. It spoke to you directly. Well, has that changed at all? Have you become so familiar with God's word that the wow factor no longer exists?
Ooh, ah.
Do you turn off the message when it's about something you've already heard preached dozens of times? Oh, Lord, I'm getting convicted here myself. Has the Word of God become a traditional religious exercise to endure rather than a delightful opportunity for deeper relationship with the living God who loves you? What does the Word have to say about tradition and familiarity?
I'd like to answer that. Matthew 15:6 tells us we've made the word of God of no effect by our tradition. You know, if you were to ask a Christian, is the word of God the most powerful thing you can think of? They'd say, oh, yeah. But Jesus said, we've made the word of God of no effect by our tradition. Mark 7:8 tells us we've laid aside the commandment of God and taken up the tradition of man in its place. And in verse 13 of Mark 7, it repeats what was stated in Matthew, that we make the word of God of no effect because of tradition. Oh, help us, Jesus. In Colossians 2:8, we're given a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you, that means lead you away, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Wasn't there a time when you ran hard after Christ because you wanted to be in His presence more than you wanted anything else in the world? You know, if you are truly, and think back to your first love in the world, in the natural world. You would have done anything to spend more time with that person. You talked on the phone for hours. You would have moved mountains to get to them, to be where they are. Wasn't there a time when you ran hard after Christ in the same way? Because you wanted to be in His presence more than you wanted anything else in the world.
I think this speaks to the scripture that don't be weary in well-doing. So we know from Scripture that tradition can lead us away from the true path God has set before us. It's a blinder that keeps us from seeing God's way of looking at things and keeps us in man's way of looking at things. We take the easy way of seeing things, the way that makes sense to us, or the way we can figure out in our minds. Yet the Word teaches us through its accounts of miracles, through its admonitions, through its truth, that God's ways are most often the opposite of the obvious. God's ways are higher than our ways. So wasn't there a time in your life when you were seeking God's ways and not settling on what man does or says or teaches?
Amen. Amen. You know, in the message that we heard on Sunday, the visiting preacher said that God's world was an upside down world. When actually, you know, I wanted to stand up and say, no, our world is upside down. He's got it right. But what he was saying is what we just said here. His ways are the opposite of the obvious to us, more times than not. Now, let me take a little aside here and say, we are not saying that all traditions are evil. What we are saying is that the traditions that hide the truth and the traditions that lead us into compromise or complacency or other ungodly actions and attitudes, those traditions need to be removed from our eyes and from our lives. I have a longtime friend who faithfully serves Thanksgiving dinner at the Salvation Army in her city every year. That is how she spends her Thanksgiving Day. It's become a tradition for her. It began when the Lord had her break the accepted yearly family get-together and make a self-sacrifice for others. And when she did that, it was such a delight to her to serve and to share her love for Jesus that she went back the following year to volunteer. She took her young daughter with her. And the two of them then continued volunteering for the next decade. But then it became a chore. The joy seemed to have departed from that. But still, they kept on until it next became a badge of honor. It became a pride thing. Her conversations about Thanksgiving no longer centered in the joy she felt by serving others, but the pride she had in doing that. It was no longer about the Lord and His work. It was about her and her selflessness and her sacrifice. A rewarding work of love, faith, and obedience had become a dead work. Think about it. Proverbs 27:2 says this, "Let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips."
Amen. The devil can work in even a good tradition. So, you know, we have to be aware of the blinder of tradition and keep our love fresh to prevent that from happening.
Our friend
got caught in the deception of pride through tradition. Let's be aware that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He doesn't stay stagnant. He keeps moving and expects us to do the same. When the grace for a task is lifted, when the joy departs, pack up the tabernacle and follow the cloud by day and the fire by night.
That's right. Because when God's moving, we need to move with Him.
Amen. The second blinder we want to expose tonight is the sin of familiarity. We call it a sin because it lulls us into complacency and apathy, growing a take-it-for-grantedness in our life. One of the deadly symptoms of this is that we may get to the point where we don't think it will make any difference whether or not we show respect to our loved ones.
Oh.
Oftentimes, we're nicer to the neighbor, even to the stranger, than we are to our own spouse.
Help us, Jesus. Another example of the sin of familiarity is, for instance, we go to a new church, we decide we like it there, and then we discover that to be an integral part of that body of believers, we have to take their new members course. Something in our brain just goes click, and we turn off from that. After all, we've read the Bible. We know God, or we think we do. Why should we undergo the rudimental teachings of God's Word all over again? I know a man who helped form a new church. he worked with the pastor to write the new members class. And then after the materials were printed and the board chose the teacher for the class, this same man was asked to take the course. Everybody had to take, everybody in the church had to take this course. And he became offended, and he left the church. Was that prideful? Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. If we aren't willing to submit to the authority over us, God will not likely put us in charge over anything. Because you have to be under authority to have authority. That is so true, and there's so many examples in the Word about that. So, what does the Word have to say about familiarity?
John chapter 1, verses 45 to 46. Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael, better way of saying it, said to him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see."
Sounds like Nazareth was the wrong side of the tracks.
Well, amen. In these verses, we see that Nathanael was familiar with Nazareth. Familiar. He had a preconceived notion because of his familiarity. And then in Mark chapter 6, it says, verses 1 through 4, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." It's interesting. They call that no mighty work. Wow.
Yeah.
Except
just a few sick people. That sounds like the take it for grantedness, right?
Yeah.
The attitude of the people was this: we know this guy. We saw him grow up. He's a nobody. He's got brothers and sisters. Because of their familiarity with Jesus and his family, his ministry was disregarded. Now, this may have happened to you. It certainly has happened to me. My family and friends who knew me back in the day, they have a really, really difficult time believing God could use me or could work through me in any way. After almost 20 years in ministry, a few of them are beginning to come to me for prayer. But they do it sort of like Nicodemus did with Jesus. They come on the sly, so to speak. You know, he came to Jesus by night. Didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. Your own family may not believe you're powerful in the kingdom of God because they know you, right? They know all about you. They know where the warts are and all the things you did, and you couldn't change that much. Jesus could do no mighty work there, not because he was unable, but because of the sin of familiarity. People didn't come to him. They did not come to him because they knew him.
They had a preconceived idea.
Amen. And just a sidelight, and I referred to a testimony in my own family where my brother was a real trailblazer with Jesus Christ. He took him to the family, and everybody virtually rejected him. But just as Vicki said, and some of her family's coming to her by night, some people, when they get with the, you know, there are no atheists in foxholes, and when the missiles are flying, you get a phone call, can you pray for me? So, hallelujah. You know, they know the truth deep in their heart. That's the bottom line. They know it's true.
And think of when we got married, and Jordan came over to the house, one of Phil's cousins, who is he's a rabbi or something, isn't he?
I mean, he's head of a Jewish congregation.
He's head of a Jewish congregation, anyway. And he listened raptly to what we had to say for like 2 hours. It was amazing. But, of course, he was by himself. He didn't have the rest of the family.
Right. We cornered him. We took him over the house. He was... we had his undivided attention. Hallelujah. God is good. So familiarity is a blinder. It's that thing that dulls your hearing when you discover the pastor is teaching on the parable of the sower, for example.
Oh, no, not again.
I love that parable so much, and I have people turn me off when I go off on it, too, but it is so... over, just amazingly broad and affects everything. Anyway, I don't want to get off on the parable of the sower. Okay, again, it's what somebody might say if you're teaching on that. My God, you may think I've heard this a million times. I knew all about that. And click, you're off in their mind, planning your afternoon, or maybe wishing you were out fishing and watching the football game, or just out and about somewhere. When this happens, you're very likely to miss what the Lord had to say to you in the message, simply because you're familiar with the story already.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we said all that to point out to you that tradition and familiarity are blinders that prevent you from receiving from God. They are blinders that draw you away from your first love.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those whom the Lord says, I have somewhat against you.
No, help us, Lord.
So before we go into this next part of our message tonight, let's pray together and strip off the blinders. This is very important because we're going to take you down a path you have taken since the very beginning of your Christian walk. We're going to a passage of Scripture you have heard and repeated many, many times, and we want you to truly receive what it has to say. Jesus, God said, in all you're getting, get understanding. I know it's a proverb.
Yeah, it's a proverb. In all you're getting, get wisdom, get understanding. In all you're getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. So I am going to invite you right in the middle of our message rather than at the end. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me if you want to begin to be more aware of these blinders that prevent you from receiving from God, and you want to get rid of some of the spirits that go along with that, then pray this prayer with me out loud. Father God,
Forgive me for the sin of familiarity. For becoming complacent.
For becoming complacent.
And not truly listening to your word.
Listening to your word.
Because I've heard it before. Lord, I've been tuning out and not in.
Lord, I'm tuning out and not in.
To your Holy Spirit.
Your Holy Spirit.
And what you are saying directly to me.
Saying directly to
me. I've not kept my heart open.
I've not kept my heart open.
I've not kept my love for your word fresh.
I love the word of God.
I repent to you, Lord,
I repent.
For turning away from my first love,
turning away
first. Your word,
your word,
and for taking you and what you say for granted.
Taking you and what you say for granted.
Forgive me for turning to the traditions of man. And making your word of no effect in my life, Lord.
Your word of no effect in my life.
I am truly sorry.
Lord, I am truly sorry.
For allowing pride.
Pride.
Self-focus.
Self-focus.
And self-righteousness.
And self-righteousness.
To deceive me.
To deceive.
And to rule over me in any way. I break agreement with those things.
I break agreement.
I know I've missed a lot over the years.
I know I've missed a lot over the years.
Many blessings that you wanted to pour out on me.
Many blessings you wanted to pour out on me.
Because of these sins.
Of
help me to listen with both my natural ears. And my spiritual ears. So that I can receive and begin to see the depth and the beauty of your word. Father, I don't want this word that I hear tonight or anything you say to me to become an obligation.
Become an obligation.
Or a tradition.
Or a tradition.
That causes me to miss the joy. To miss the blessings. To miss the nuggets of revelation. That you give to your children who love you. And serve you. Make me a better me. The person you created me to be.
Person created me to be.
Help me rise to the level of my intended creation. In you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I break all agreement with pride. Complacency. Self-focus, self-righteousness, the take-it-for-granted spirit.
Agreement.
I break agreement with spiritual deafness,
break agreement with spiritual deafness.
Spiritual blindness,
spirit.
Tradition and familiarity. I do not want these things in my life, Lord. And I declare, the blood of Jesus Christ is all-powerful and effective to free me now. I forgive my ancestors for opening these doors. And I release them from responsibility for any curse that attached itself to me. I take those curses and give them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, folks. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I break the stronghold of tradition and familiarity off your mind, off your emotions, off your will, off your desires. I cancel the cell memories of that. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever all ungodly soul ties and any ungodly generational cords of iniquity. In the name of Jesus Christ, I reverse the curses. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you, and I take back for you every godly thing that you were meant to have. I cast out pride, complacency, self-focus, and self-righteousness. Get up, get out, and go. I send you to the pit. I cast out that take-it-for-granted spirit. Loose them and let them go. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God. I break the power of spiritual deafness, spiritual blindness, tradition and familiarity. I break your power and I cast you out. Come up and out from every cell in their bodies right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody take a breath. Now that we have broken that stronghold that you may not have realized was there, we can take a walk in the Word. What we're going into now, you've read before. Many of you have memorized it. Most of you, I would say. And you say it often, maybe even daily. But this might have become simply words on a page, or maybe some kind of mantra to you. You may not have ever been taught what you're truly saying or praying. The meaning and the absolute power of these words revealed as God meant for them to be. Now, I want to say we don't expect to finish this passage of Scripture in one session, because there is such depth of meaning in it and so much to ponder here. But we're going to finish up next week. And before long, then both these teachings tonight and next week will be uploaded to our website at www.freedomswayministries.com. Oh, so Lord God, help us make this a complete, relaxed, and eye-opening journey as we learn to pray your way and not our own.
Amen. Okay, so we suggest that you get your Bible and follow along. And even between this week and next, keep studying these verses in Matthew chapter 6. Then we're going to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Take heed that you do not your alms before man or men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, himself shall reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So after this manner pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. We have recited this prayer thousands of times, literally. But do we realize what we are praying? If this is Jesus' model for us, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer, then we should have a good, deep, and complete understanding of it, don't you think? The disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And Jesus replied, in this manner, Our Father. Now let's look at these first two words and what they truly reveal. Would you agree that God created man? They can't hear you nod.
Well, yes,
I agree. I think every Christian on the planet will agree that God created man. We're Bible believers, and the Bible tells us he did in Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So, did God create all of mankind or just those who agree with him? Was everyone created in the image of God or just those of us who are saved? We want to think that we born-again believers are the only children of God. But is that true? Look at Psalm 33 and verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. How many is all? According to the Strong's Concordance, all is the whole, all, any, or every. What does all mean?
Oh.
All means all. Why? Because that's what all means. Verse 14, from the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Now again, all is the whole, all, any, or every. Verse 15, he fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works.
We are all in this together, saved and not yet saved alike. From before the foundation of the world, God created us in his mind and in his heart, and he gave every one of us the same heart, created in his likeness and image. So in other words, every person on the planet has God's nature in him or her. It's just that the unsaved had not yet been reconnected to their true identity. The nature of Satan has covered the nature of God in them, just as it did in us, until each individual has a personal encounter with Jesus and becomes born again and reconnected to God's nature in us.
Wow.
There is not one of us, saved or unsaved, who is more important to God than another. He considers all his children, He loves all his children the same, saved and unsaved. Who do we think we are to imagine that we have an exclusive one God? Human nature. Jesus wanted us to relate to each other as brothers and sisters in the same family. That's why he said our Father and not my Father, which was his right to say as the only begotten, or just Father as a name or a title like Joe or Boss. When we truly realize that unsaved people next to us in line at the grocery store are fashioned just like us, perhaps we'll find it easier to introduce them to their true Father who loves them. It will be easier for us to share the Jesus in us and our testimony of our encounter and born-again experience. It will be a privilege to bring our unsaved friends into closer relationship with the rest of the family, wouldn't it? God is our Father. Ephesians 4:6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This says in you all, in y'all.
That's right. That's because Paul was Father.
Yeah. And what is a father? You can't judge God as a father like your own father, who may have mistreated or neglected or even abandoned you. Some of the definitions of the Greek word for father, which is P-A-T-E-R, pater, the definitions are nourisher, protector, and a personal favorite of mine, one who animates us with the same spirit as himself. You've heard this saying all your life, like father, like son. Well, let's begin to realize who our true father is and become more like him. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Now, this was an amazing revelation for me. I hope for you as well. And that's just the first two words of this miraculous prayer. Our Father.
Amen. So let's go on. It says, which art in heaven? Some translations say who, but I am partial to which, as it states in the King James Version, because which denotes a choice, and that lines up with the biblical pattern. Which denotes there is more than one Father, and Jesus wanted us to be sure which Father we are praying to. The one in heaven, and that doesn't mean your biological father who may have already gone on before you. Now we know that there is but one creator and father of all, so what did Jesus mean by this? In John chapter 8, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees when he said this. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Ah.
Now we get another picture, the nature of Satan and the nature of God, both residing in God's children. Ouch. Study this out. Remember that definition of father? One who animates us with the same spirit as himself. In Matthew chapter 5, what we call the Beatitudes or Be This Attitude, Jesus said we are to love our enemies bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And why? Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For me, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
Hallelujah. You see why I didn't want to go fast through this? God is our Father, but are we his children? Every single day, and sometimes many times a day, we get to choose which nature we will follow, which nature we allow to animate us. If you can't say amen, say ouch. This is a truth that may be hard to swallow, but if you will receive it, it might help you choose rightly. Which Father? Jesus next tells us in this prayer that we are to hallow the name of our Father in heaven and not any other. Hallowed be thy name. Whose name? God, our Father. So what does hallow mean? According to the Strong's Concordance, it means to make holy or sacred, sanctify, venerate. Venerate is to hold the name of God in the very highest esteem and respect. In order to do that, we must deeply understand God's name. Now, we're not simply talking about the names of God that he was called throughout Scripture that denote and describe his character. You know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Ra'ah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tzidkenu, all of those, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sabaoth, and on and on and on. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about deeply understanding God's name. So we're going to give you God's name in a way that will impact your life forever if you will receive it. We're going to teach you how to make God's name holy and sacred, how to sanctify and consecrate it, and how to venerate it, how to hold his name in the very highest esteem and respect, and to do that every single day of your life. Now, in order to do that, we're going to need more time. More time than we have right now. So that will happen next week. There's your carrot. So we're going to live up to this pledge. We will continue to walk through the depth of this prayer next week. Fair enough? So I'm going to ask Phil to pray for us.
Amen. Thank you, Father God, that your children are free from the sins of tradition and familiarity, and that they can now recognize when these thieves are on the prowl to capture them. Give us all, Father, the courage to stay free and not to yield to spirits of complacency or pride. Help us never to take for granted the people in our lives and to appreciate them as we'd like to take, as we would like to be appreciated. Never let us take you and your goodness and mercy for granted, Lord, as if we should deserve to receive from you exactly what we think we want. Help us know in our hearts that you are for us and not against us, and that your thoughts and plans for us are for good and not evil. Remind us when we are slipping off into familiarity or tradition that dulls your truth and makes your word of no effect in our lives. Keep our ears open to you, Lord. Help us remember that everyone, even those that try our patience or offend our sensitivity, those who persecute us and despitefully use us, those who are our enemies and who hate us are still your children, and that somewhere within each one is still your nature. Give us the courage to speak your love to all who can receive it, because it is the goodness of God that draws man to repentance. Help us bring judgment on evil and justice to your children who are ignorant and snared by the devil. And keep us, Father, in an attitude of humility and gratitude as you position us to receive your truth in full measure and to fully return to our first love. We bring this supplication in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. I don't know if you got anything this evening, but I certainly did. So if you have a comment or a question tonight, you can push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. Yeah. Yep. Phil's making a fire. He's stoking the fire. You hear all this noise in the background.
Hey, Vicki, it's Annette.
Hi, honey.
Hey, this was awesome tonight. Yes, it was most definitely a refresher, but it's also a lot more knowledge, too. I really I appreciate it. I have to maybe even try to do this some more, do it again, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a good one, most definitely. Yeah. We'll try
Praise
to make it
Lord.
Here
Thank
next week. That'll be next Monday.
We're going to finish Monday night. Yep. We're going to finish out this prayer and see just what it is. I mean, we're going to draw it out in such a way as we did with this first 4, 5, 6 words, whatever it was that we did tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that you will never look at this again the same way. You're not going to say, oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, it's going to mean something to you.
Right. So, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm ready.
Woohoo. Thank you, Annette.
All right, love y'all.
Thank you. Anybody else got something to say tonight?
This is an excellent, excellent teaching. Oh, my gosh. This is so good.
Thank you, Rose.
I especially like the part where you were, I had a question in my mind because when you said our Father, and I remember that passage where it said you're of your father, the devil. So the question came in my mind, well, how could that be if God is everyone's father, and you answered it. I mean, it's like God knew you were going to answer that. So that was just a blessing to me. It's just the whole teaching is just, and it's so true because we do read these passages over and over and over again, and they do become so familiar that, I mean, that's why the Holy Spirit's got to let it jump out off the page at you because you've read it so much that it just didn't sink in. So he's got to bring it to your attention by just bursting it out and say, hey, look at me. So thank you so much, Pastor Vicki and Pastor Phil. Really enjoyed it tonight.
Thank you, Rose. Yeah, I was in marketing for 30 years. Excuse me, I had a marketing company, and one of the things that we would do for small companies is we would make those little bandit signs. You know, that's what they're called. They're those little on the wire things that you stick in the ground, you know. And we'd make these little bandit signs, excuse me, to put down on the roadway. And then, you know, we'd put them down for, and I always told them, do not leave them for more than 4 or 5 days, and then you have to move them, because people, when they're new and they see them the first time, they see them. But if they're traveling the same roads every day to go to work or to go wherever they're going, after about 5 days, they don't see that sign anymore. It's become a part of the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you take it up and you move it somewhere else, they see it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sin of familiarity. We become so familiar with something that we don't even see it anymore.
Mm.
So,
excellent.
Anybody else? Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you all joined us tonight.
Yes, I want you to say y'all are such a blessing to all of us. And we're, my wife, she changed up our Thanksgiving dinner this year and changing the tradition and doing something totally different this year too also. She's already on the ball. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the word.
Thank you, Mitch. Bless you. Okay. Well, if there's no one else, yes, go ahead.
Hey, we're always learning. This was wonderful as always.
Thank you, Claudia.
Will you be doing the same thing on Friday?
I don't know what Gretchen has planned for Friday. I will send her this if she wants it. But yeah, I don't know what she'll be doing on Friday.
Okay.
So,
very good.
Hallelujah.
Tune in and find out.
Yeah, tune in and find out. We'll all find out.
That's right.
It will be a blessing.
Very
okay.
Good. Thank
so,
you.
You're welcome, honey. If there is no one else, I'm going to ask Pastor Phil to bless us. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for your word. Seal it in our hearts, Lord.
Yeah.
We want to be like you, Jesus.
Yeah,
and
Lord,
so we say the only way to do that is to take us out of the picture and you manifest through us. And we are open and ready, Lord, you to manifest your power and goodness through us in every way that can be done. So thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. Thank you for your plan. Thank you that we are growing up in you, getting stronger every day, ready to fulfill our destiny.
Animate us with your spirit.
Yes. Animate us with your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. We honor you tonight. We worship you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, I will bless you tonight with the Aaronic benediction. In Hebrew and English. God bless you as you hear. Hallelujah. Yivoreth Adonai ve'yishmorecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yishem lecha shalom. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you for that blessing. We thank you that we are blessed in you. We thank you for your plans and purposes. Again, Lord, seal this word in our hearts. Strengthen us in your walk. Be as you would have us be on the earth. Power us, Lord. Seal it in our heart. Strengthen us, Lord. We honor you. We give you all the honor and glory for this, God, in the mighty, precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. We will be here in the morning at 7:15. Join us Friday night with Gretchen at 8:30. Next Monday at 8:30 p.m., we will continue with this prayer and its deeper meaning. And you're going to know the name of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Jesus. Good night.
Woo-hoo.
Good night. God bless.
Good night, my dear.